Welcome to the Aquarimax audio show with Russ and Kelly. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics.
This is episode 252, recorded May 26th, 2015.
Greetings, Aquarimaxers.
Welcome once again.
Who's joining us this week?
We have Joe in Hudsonville, Michigan.
New contributor.
Yes, welcome. And Jeremiah in Grand Rapids, also Michigan.
To Michigan.
Michiganites? Folks. Michiganians?
I don't know.
Michigan people? I don't know. What's the word?
People contributing from Michigan. That's what I like to say.
New York, you say New York, or Texan is Texan. California is Californian.
Yeah.
Utahn.
I don't know.
Maybe
they'll have to tell us.
Because it already ends with an N. Michigan. Michiganian doesn't sound very good. You guys will have to tell us. Okay, Mike in Oregon. excuse me. Sam in Malaysia, who's also a new contributor. So welcome to Sam, too. And Tony in New York.
Okay, let's start out.
Well, let's go with Joe first. And he says, hi, Russ and Kelly. You guys seem to make some pretty deep references to Disney movies that aren't just Finding Nemo. I thought I caught a reference to the first Pirates movie last show. Just wondering if you were as big of Disney nerds as I am? Love the show, Joe and Hudsonville.
Well, thank you, Joe. Thank you for contributing. And I guess we do
kind
like
of
to
just
insert...
movie nerds. We just quote movies all the time.
Many of them happen to be Disney movies.
Yes, because we do like... have four kids.
And we like Disney movies.
Anyway. We do like Disney movies.
We would have to engage in some sort of Disney nerdifying battle to determine whether or not we are as big Disney nerds as you are.
You could send us a quiz. Write us a quiz, and we'll have to take it on the air. That would be fun.
But, yeah.
But we like Disney. We like movies. We quote things. We actually tone it way down for the podcast, because if we quoted things as often as we do off air, we just figured nobody would know what we were talking about.
We'd have to change the podcast to just the quote cast.
Yes.
Or something. So, yeah.
So we're those, you know, geeky people who quote movies all the time.
Not that we watch a whole lot of them, but...
We don't watch movies often, but the ones that we watch, we really like.
Yeah.
And so we use the lines. Yeah. And, you know, they're like classics from when we were growing up. I could probably still recite at least 70% of Princess Bride from memory.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Good chunks of Willow, too. Okay, but I digress. Anyways, so Jeremiah in Grand Rapids, Michigan, he says, hello, Aquarimax. I've been too busy to do a video, but I thought I would provide an update on my tank. The duckweed has had mixed results. It got all sucked up into my hang-on back filter and then got stuck to the plastic partition, but underneath the mechanical filtration. So I got all the duckweed out of that. I'm back into the tank and put a filter sponge over the hang-on-the-back intake. This prevents the duckweed from going into the filter. A side effect of this is that the pre-filter now catches some of the tank's waste, so the potho and ficus plants I had in the filter started turning yellow, presumably from lack of nutrients due to the sponge filter catching it and probably developing some beneficial bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
I've put the roots directly into the tank now, and it seems to be doing a little better. Hopefully it improves.
Yeah, you know, I've tried that with pothos various times, and I've had mixed results, but I don't know if I'm doing it wrong or whatever, but I've never had awesome results from it. Mm. I've got some in our African clodfrod's tank, and it's been there. It's survived for, I don't know, well over a year, but it's not exactly thriving, I guess.
Not the best.
It's not doing awfully either. I mean, it's fine, but it's not.
It's not what you want it to be.
Right.
So he goes on to say, the duckweed now all sticks to the pre-filter sponge, forming a submerged duckweed mass. This means I do not have the duckweed at the top looking pretty. However, the duckweed is not dying off. The algae in the tank has not decreased, but it hasn't recovered from my weekly scraping either. Additionally, my plants have sprouted quite a few new leaves. I think I'm reaching a tipping point in my struggle against the algae. Hopefully the ram's horn snail eggs covering the aquarium hatch soon and finish it off.
It does sound like there are some good signs there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the new leaves growing on the plants. And like you were saying, if the the algae hasn't recovered from the scraping yet, that's a good sign,
that's
too.
That's good.
So, yeah. Hopefully it all comes along.
Away.
And ram's horns are a mixed blessing, of course. You know, they do, and they can produce a lot of waste and feed the algae, but at the same time, they do eat it. They're pretty good at eating some of it. So.
And if you get too many of them, you can always get assassin snails.
True. Assassin snails are good that way.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Mike in Oregon has sent us a Google voice.
Okay, let's see if that'll queue up now for us.
Okay, let's take a listen.
Try something else. Okay, now, try it now.
Now I'm ready.
Hey, Clara Beth, this is Mike from Oregon. Hey, I had a question to ask you guys concerning the life of fish tanks, how long they last. As you guys probably remember, I recently purchased a 125-gallon tank, and it's glass, and kind of makes me a little nervous having 125 gallons of water in my living room, and I was kind of wondering, do fish tanks wear out? I mean, does the sealant wear out on them, or, you know, anything like that? I think the fish tank was built in 2000, because the pump had a date of manufacture of 2000, and the previous owner kind of made it sound like he bought all that. He bought it kind of as a kit, brand new, from a pet store. Anyway, so as far as I know, it's probably built 2000, and just kind of thinking, you know, that, you know, maybe upgrading to an acrylic tank if you guys thought that it might be a concern. Once again, 125 gallons of water in my living room makes me nervous. So I guess that leads me to my second question is, if it is a concern and I should replace that tank due to its age, glass versus acrylic, what are your guys' thoughts? I'm kind of thinking about sticking with 125 gallon size. So anyway, that's my questions. And once again, great show. And I'll be looking forward to hearing your response. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Well, that's a good question.
That
thanks
is a
for
good question.
Sending in a Google voice message, mm-hmm. Mike in Oregon. We always appreciate those. And that's a very good question. Well, in terms of tanks aging, I've had over the years quite a few tanks that have lasted a long time. I'm trying to think, I can't think of ever having a tank that just started leaking attributable to age. What I have had is, you know, tanks that have been damaged somehow by being bumped or lifted or whatever. And that's probably, I mean, that's all I can think of. I had...
The sealant doesn't eventually degrade.
Well, I've heard of that happening. And with mm-hmm. the older tanks, before they had the silicone, that was certainly a concern. Although I had Metaframe tanks.
Those are the ones too, with the metal around them,
with the metal
them, right?
around them and the different type of cement mm-hmm. that they used that lasted for years, too, that I got secondhand and I had for years and years and years.
You still had one when we got married.
Did I?
You did.
I still did.
We didn't have it for very long after that, just because we moved a couple different times. But but it was one when we got married that you had had since you were a kid
mm-hmm.
that I think you had gotten used.
Yeah, I definitely got used. I had a couple of Metaframe tanks as a kid that, I'm thinking, I'm remembering the one you're talking about that we had.
I don't remember what was in it now.
I don't either, but I also had, let's see. Like, some of the tanks we have now, we've had for a long time, and they were used when we got them, like the goldfish tank. We got that, I don't know, that was 2007, but it was used when we got it. Mm-hmm. It's doing fine. Some of the 20 gallons that we have right now, I got years and years ago, like probably 15 years ago, and... They're still going.
You got those used?
Yeah, and I got them used too.
I don't think... Have we ever bought a new fish tank? Was it your first 55 after we got married with the cichlids in it? Did we buy that new?
That was new.
That was new. I think that's the only tank that we've bought, like, actually new from the pet store or whatever. I think we usually just find them on classifieds.
A lot of the times we've done some garage sales and classified and stuff.
Yeah, I can't
remember.
I have
bought a few new tanks, but not very many.
Like 10 gallons.
I've got
maybe.
A couple of new 10 gallons.
Those almost don't count.
Yeah. and maybe a 20-gallon, and certainly a couple of small desktop aquariums. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I don't usually get them new. The 5-gallon I've had, I have now, is old. I'm not even sure it's of its origins, and it's still kicking. We bought that one.
That one?
That's new.
That's not the 5-gallon.
No, that's the 2.5. Right. I don't know about that new.
5 gallons will work.
Yeah. The 55-gallon.
I would imagine, you know, 70 years from now, maybe it would...
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that they never fail, but I do. And I have heard of the
silicone... They last a good long time.
...failing. I've heard of it, that the silicone becomes more rigid over time, more brittle.
Have you heard of it at all with, like, a specific brand or anybody mentions?
No, I haven't that I can think of. Well, just for another one, the 55-gallon that we... The second 55-gallon?
Mm-hmm.
We got from...
From your actually, cousin.
My cousin, Web Guru John.
Mm-hmm.
Who helps us out with Aquarimax, the web end of it, yeah. Anyway, he got that tank when Isaac was a baby.
So that's 15 and a half years ago, going on 16 years ago.
And that tank, he got it when Isaac was a baby, and it was secondhand from a pet store. It had seen several years of use in a pet store.
In the pet store.
And he bought it from the pet store when the pet store was going out of business.
So it could be 18 to 20 years
old. It could be 20 years old easily.
Mm-hmm.
And we sold it, and it was still fine.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason we got rid of it is because we were moving to this smaller place and couldn't fit it.
We didn't have room for it.
So there's a little bit of perspective there. I totally can see why you'd be worried about 125 gallons in your living room.
That's a lot of water.
But a lot of glass. I would say there are other things, you know, some shifting in the floor might cause more problems than just age itself. And I'm not going to say that age itself isn't necessarily an issue, because also the bigger tank you get, you know, I think
there's more pressure,
and of course glass is thicker and whatnot, but that's certainly something to think about. In terms of glass or acrylic, I haven't done a lot with acrylic. I've done nothing with acrylic in large tanks. I've had the small, you know, acrylic tanks.
You don't usually like acrylic tanks.
And it certainly has some advantages.
But I just hate that they get scratched.
They get scratched really easily. And even though those scratches can often be repaired, it takes, you know, time and effort and certain specialized equipment to repair it.
It's kind of a pain.
And you can repair glass scratches too, but they just don't happen as easily. And I guess one nice thing about acrylic is the shape. You can get custom shapes.
Like the bow fronts and stuff.
Bow fronts or even just like all kinds of crazy things. Archways, whatever. You know, you can, if you can dream it, they can build it pretty much in terms of shape, which is nice. Definitely not true of glass. You can get certain shapes, but it's nothing like that. They do insulate better. There's less heat loss and less risk of condensation. And some of the new acrylic is extremely clear stuff. It's nice.
Have they made it more scratch resistant? Or?
And there are more scratch resistant types of acrylic, to my understanding, but I don't think they can entirely eliminate that. There's no way they could do that.
Right.
But yeah, I just haven't done with a lot with acrylic, even though there certainly does have some of those advantages that I mentioned. And.
But we do tend towards glass.
Yeah, we just tend towards glass for whatever reason. I think. Certainly getting a custom-made acrylic tank is expensive. And that's probably one of the reasons why I haven't done it. Because it would just be astronomically priced from considering our price range. But, yeah. I'm sure that there are aquariumexers out there who might want to chime in on that and see if we can get some other perspectives on glass and acrylic. And maybe tanks that have failed from old age, because I certainly
can't discount that
the possibility exists. I've just never seen it happen with any of mine, but it could happen.
It's time for that station break thingy when I tell you how you can play an active part in the Aquarimax community. If you want your questions or comments featured on the show, send us an email at info@aquarimax.com. Or call and leave a message at 801-477-0629. You can also subscribe to the Aquarimax YouTube channel like our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter.
And now for a blatant but extremely brief plug.
Our ebook, The Aquarimax Guide to 7 Easy Live Foods, is available on Amazon.com for $2.99. Okay, so Sam in Malaysia.
He's a new contributor.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I don't think have we had anybody from Malaysia? That might be a new place to be contributing from also.
It's true.
I know people from India have contacted you.
People from India have, but I don't know that we've had anyone from Malaysia.
From Malaysia.
If we have, it's been a long time.
Yeah. Okay, so he says, recently I have successfully bred betta fry. Well, you know, bred betta and got fry.
Right.
But after that, I just cannot find the right food for the fries. They're so tiny. So can you advise me how to keep the fry alive?
Well, I sent Sam an email because I assumed with the fry there, if I were to wait for the next podcast, he would have dead fry.
Right.
And so I sent him an email and suggested a few items, Walter worms, micro worms, banana worms, any of those could work as a first food. Vinegar eels can be good as a first food for the first few days.
Those are all nice and small.
Mm-hmm. And infusoria can work
for
too.
The very beginning, yeah.
For the very beginning, first couple of days. What we did when we raised that batch of betta fry, we did infusoria and vinegar eels for a couple of days and then started doing Walter worms and then kind of shifted away from the... We added infusoria and vinegar eels for a few days along with the Walter worms and just kind of tapered those off so we were doing more Walter worms. And then finally we added baby brine shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
And we alternated between Walter worms and baby brine shrimp until they were old enough to start taking prepared food.
Seemed to work pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Did you happen to send him the episode that we went over the breeding project with all that? Like,
you know, I should have done that. I didn't.
You could probably still send
it to him. But I can also say, yeah. Hey, Sam, you can watch that episode or listen to that episode, and maybe you've already seen our...
Did we have a single episode, or did we just kind of spread it out,
well,
like giving updates every week? I can't even remember now.
We did an episode with Carlos interviewing him on how to do it.
Oh, yeah.
In preparation for doing it.
And then we kind of gave updates on
what
we were doing.
And then we gave updates periodically. We did,
It's been a little while, huh?
It has been. It's been a few years, actually, since we did that. None of those bettas are alive anymore.
Ooh.
We had them for quite a while,
mm-hmm.
the ones that we kept, but they're not around anymore.
So, okay, well, hopefully that's helpful, and we can send him the episode information, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, thanks.
And I asked him where he's from, and he mentioned that he was from Malaysia, and he also had another comment.
Oh, he said, I wish that I could successfully breed betta fry up and hopefully take part in a betta competition one day. So that would be neat.
Yeah, that's quite a lofty goal, but I hope, too. I hope that you succeed at that. That would be fun.
You can send us a picture of your prize-winning betta.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we have Tony in New York.
Yeah, been a little while since we've heard from Tony. That's nice to have him back.
Excuse me. And he just said, I just came from the Aquarimax page after watching the video of Finn the goldfish. Oh my goodness, he is beautiful. And the homemade biofilter is amazing. What I really wanted to note, though, is that Finn appears to be the exact same fish from your Aquarimax website banner. Oh, he's right.
He does look very similar, doesn't he?
He says, wow, I think Finn was destined to be the official Aquarimax mascot. What do you think?
I think it's awesome.
That's so cool.
Paul and Finn what they think.
We could name the fish in our little banner Finn.
Yeah, and you know what would be cool? If we could do... We could redo the logo with actually Finn in it. if Paul wanted to
That would be cool. Oh, he has... Tony has a PS, too.
Mm-hmm.
He says, Matt said that coralline algae is the most beneficial kind for a marine tank. I wondered why that is. Thanks again for the great show.
Hmm. Okay, wonder why that is. And what do you think? Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, coralline algae. I remember growing it in our marine tanks.
Was that the pink stuff on the...
Yeah, it can be pink or purple.
Oh, I didn't like it. It was in the way.
Well, this is the thing. It's fine if it grows on the live rock.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing.
When it's on the glass, it's in the way.
It uses up nutrients that, you know, would otherwise go to other types of algae and so on. It's considered a positive thing for that reason. But if it grows on the glass, that is annoying. And we would have to scrape it off, had a steel blade. that we would use to scrape it off with.
It was very difficult to remove.
It was a bit, yeah, it was tough to remove. And you have to be very careful not to scratch the glass when you do it. Mm-hmm. So there's that. But it is a good way to use up some of the nutrients that, you know,
excess. Would add,
yeah, use up some extra nutrients and put it into essentially biomass, I guess. And I don't know if there are any other benefits. There may
Maybe
be
Matt
other
can
ones.
Enlighten us.
There may be some other ones too.
Go, Matt. Take it, Matt. He can tell us. So, is this from this week? Did we just didn't get him in the list up at the top?
Oh, did I not get that in the list up at the top? You're right. I totally missed that.
Hang on, folks. We're not done. We have one more. JR in Eastern Kentucky. He says, I thought you might like an update on my attempts at trying to extend the life of the CO2 output. Using the last mix with bottle A at 350 grams of citric acid to 600 milliliters of water, and bottle B at 200 grams of baking soda at 200 milliliters of water, is able to reach 21 days at 2 bubbles per second, 8 hours a day, and I'm very pleased with that.
Yeah, that's even better than his target.
Mm-hmm. He says, I'm trying the below mix next to see if I can get even longer. So that would be bottle A with 400 grams of citric acid to 600 milliliters of water. And bottle B, 300 grams of baking soda, 200 milliliters of water.
Yeah, it'll be cool to see how that shakes out. But it sounds like...
It's quite the study.
That controlling the concentrations, as he's mentioned, is a good way... good documentation, first of all. But also, it seems like it's working. His hypothesis that he could make a higher concentration of citric acid would last longer seems to be borne out. So that's good to see.
It's, you know, 2 bubbles a second.
Yeah, that's definitely
enough. I love bubbles per second. I don't know, it just makes me smile.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's good. Yeah, thanks for sharing, JR, and we hope to hear more about it and see if you can get it going. Maybe you said that was 21 days, so 3 weeks. Maybe you could get it for a month.
Yeah, maybe we'll hear at the end of June.
Yeah. I think that is about all for this.
I think so.
Month, isn't it? I mean, week.
This week.
We're moving very soon. We think.
We hope.
A few things are still loose ends up in the air that are thrashing around, and we hope that they will settle soon, and then we'll know. But once again, just a little heads up: if you don't get a podcast
next week,
that's why. But we'll be back.
Because we're still looking for the field recorder in the boxes.
Yeah, which box do we put that in again? Yeah, so we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
But in the meantime...
May the fish
be with you. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquarimax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquarimax.com. To leave comments or questions that could be featured on an upcoming podcast, leave a message at 801-477-0629. Or email us at info@aquarimax.com.